Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Syrupcast, Mobile Syrup's Canadian tech-focused podcast. I'm Patrick O'Rourke, and across the table from me is Brad Bennett, a man who refers to himself as the bad boy of tech, but that I call Mobile Syrup's teen correspondent. Hello. Today, it's just Brad and I on the pod for the most part. How are you doing, Brad?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Still a little sick, but getting better.
Yeah, a little sleepy. It's our earliest pod ever.
This is truly the earliest we have ever recorded this podcast, and I've been on many episodes of the Syrupcast. We also have Aisha briefly dropping by for the first time on the Syrupcast to talk about some CRTC stuff and also go over, I think, one extra story that we've sort of considered the hottest news of the week. How are you doing, Aisha?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, no, it's nice to be on.
So we're going to hit the hottest news of the week right off the top.
Right. So one of the big things that's happening this week in terms of Canada are the CRTC hearings. So what makes these hearings so important is that they're going to basically decide whether further action is required to improve choice and affordability, which is obviously always a hot topic in Canada. So they're also going to determine whether MVNOs should have mandated access to the Big Three's network. So obviously the Big Three have been arguing that if they had to provide network access to their rivals, it would impact their ability to invest in the same way that they do right now. So lastly, the hearings are also going to touch on whether there should be like regulations around the deployment of 5G, which is obviously still a hot topic in Canada with the launch of 5G phones and the carriers saying that they're going to launch their initial 5G networks later this year.
So what, I mean, I know what an MVNO is, but if you had to explain it on a very, very basic level to a listener who isn't familiar with the telecom side of what MobileServe covers, how would you explain that?
So there are a lot of like different definitions, but I feel like the best way to put it is like an MVNO is a provider that doesn't have like an established network, but instead they'll rent access to existing networks like from like national carriers.
So they don't have their own infrastructure. They're renting it from Rogers, TELUS, or Bell, carriers that actually do have their own infrastructure.
Exactly. So it can get a bit confusing because some MVNOs do have limited networks, but it's not established enough in terms of like spectrum.
Okay. So I guess the only other question, and it relates specifically to how this would affect like the average Canadian, like what do you think the resulting outcome of these hearings will end up being? Is something going to be mandated by the CRTC?
So right now it's just them, like the carriers making their arguments, presenting their evidence and facts. And I feel like something that people don't know is that although these hearings were like years in the making, we're not going to get like a final decision until like later this year or even like next year. But it is essentially supposed to touch on like affordability. And if the CRTC does find that there isn't enough, like I feel like there will have to be some regulations. And obviously there could be like potential regulations around 5G. Just to ensure that like things are smooth and ready to go when networks do launch.
Will that end up relating to the controversy surrounding Huawei in any way?
In a sense, yes, but not directly because obviously Canada still is conducting its security review on Huawei. So we don't have word on that either. So we're thinking like possibly mid-2020 or like later this year.
So that's another thing that's still up in the air, really.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like going back to the MVNO thing, do you think like if it's mandated that MVNOs can get access to the network for cheaper, right? That's sort of the goal, is that?
Essentially, yeah. Just a more like wide coverage.
So if they get this wider coverage, do you think it actually helps like the competitive aspect of the Canadian, like for consumers, do plans go down, essentially would be like the bottom boil of that question.
So that is, if it was mandated, that is what is essentially supposed to be the goal. But there are like two sides to it. Like, for instance, Freedom said that if they had to compete with, say, like PC Mobile, who doesn't have infrastructure, but instead got access to like the Big Three's network, it'd be difficult for them to compete with customers, because although they do have infrastructure, it's hard for them to kind of compete with someone that can just enter and exit the market as they please. Mm-hmm. That's like the resellers like PC Mobile.
Do you think there's like some sort of price point that they could hit that sort of appeases everybody?
I don't think they've like decided on a price point yet. That's obviously, I feel like, would come after the hearings finish, in terms of like the CRTC like looking at the findings and evidence and determining if there is like a price point that they could hit.
Okay. From the Competition Bureau's perspective, is the goal to make Freedom like a viable national fourth carrier? Is that like part of the point of the hearings in any way?
That is one part of it, because obviously Freedom is trying to expand its coverage and essentially try to eventually become a fourth carrier. Yeah. But that's why they argue that that wouldn't be possible if they're competing with other MVNOs that have access to the Big Three but aren't investing in infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So Freedom does invest in infrastructure. They throughout like their hearing, they did say that they've invested billions and that they're expanding in, I think the last 18 months, they expanded to 20 cities. So they are trying to expand. So the Competition Bureau's... the Competition Bureau's model would benefit Freedom, but the CRTC's model would not, because that would put it on a level playing field for resellers as well. So that would kind of hinder Freedom's growth.
Okay.
I guess my last question is, does any of this relate to the like government's mandate to lower cell phone prices by like, what was it, like 20% or 18% or something?
I believe it was 25%.
25%.
I could be wrong.
But does this sort of like tie into that? Like, is this, you know, hand in hand, everyone's working together to lower cell phone prices? Or is this like the CRT is trying to lower them, and so is the Liberal government, and so is the Competition Bureau? Or is this all sort of like one collective effort? Does that?
I would say yes and no, in the sense that, so the mobile wireless hearings that are happening right now were announced like last year. I believe Trudeau made his statement like during the election campaign. So that did come after. But obviously it is like a collective, like the government is pressuring the CRTC to kind of have regulations that would lower prices. So it does go hand in hand. But I would say that the government saying that they want it, the Trudeau government saying that they want to reduce prices did come after.
Mm-hmm. It is 25%. I just double checked.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and I remember the last time I was writing about it, like one of the things that they were looking at was like MVMOs. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I was wondering if they were like linked.
Yeah. So just to touch on that, as part of Innovation Minister Navdeep Bains' mandate letter, he was required to look into mandating MVNOs if there's like no other way to lower prices. So I guess it does go hand in hand, but it is just like a collective push on the Big Three and other providers to kind of get to a price point that is appealing to Canadians.
I think one of the things that I find the most compelling about these hearings is it's stuff that will directly affect customers eventually.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's always the case with CRTC stuff. So I think that's enough CRTC talk. What else do you have for us, Aisha?
Right. So kind of switching gears here, another topic that was kind of hot over the weekend in Canada was the Tesla Model Y that was spotted in Sudbury. So I think what was interesting about this one and what made it different from the one that we saw in Toronto a few weeks back was that this one was like bearing the brunt of the Canadian winter. I think it was like negative 20 degrees Celsius in Sudbury during the day and then like negative 30 overnight. So it was covered in like snow and salt, which like kind of made us think that it was likely being tested in cold winter conditions. Brad, I know you know a bit more about this particular vehicle.
I know nothing about automotive or electric vehicles.
I mean, I don't know like the overarching, like I'm not in Tesla's head or any automaker's head, but it definitely could have been like winter testing. I mean, that's what everybody seems to think. The only part with that is I'm just like curious how much winter testing would they really have to do? Like, I guess that would make sense why they're doing it now, because A, it's winter, and B, the release is supposed to be sometime around April for the first like wave of them.
You were talking about it yesterday, right? I know that cold weather is a point of contention for people that talk about electric cars. How much does that truly matter? Like, how much does cold weather really change how much a vehicle is going to last or how many miles it's going to get?
So I don't know the specifics. I don't think it's a hard and fast number, though. I don't know. I've never driven an electric vehicle in the winter for an extended period of time, or in the winter at all. But essentially, from what I can gather, from what I've learned, is that like the heater plays the biggest detriment. Like running the heater all the time is like draining the battery. So I guess they need to test those things. But the thing I was kind of getting at is like Tesla already has three vehicles on the market that have already kind of been tested in winter. And I think the Model Y is built on a very similar platform to Model 3. So I don't know how much winter testing. I think they're just out and about just like driving them because the release is so imminent.
Maybe Elon Musk just wanted to go on vacation to Sudbury.
Yeah, probably. I bet you he loves Sudbury. Nickel City? Is that the...
Yeah, they have like a giant nickel there.
Yeah.
He just wanted to go see the big nickel. He drove all the way up there in his Tesla Model Y.
He's not even driving the Model Y. He should have brought the truck.
Oh, God. The Cybertruck.
But yeah, I think it's exciting. I think like the biggest thing that this foreshadows is like winter testing or not, which is exciting. But I think is that, you know, they're coming. The Model Ys are like almost here. I think the... I can't remember off the top of my head, but I want to say it's like the all-wheel drive, like extended range model is like coming first. And like when Tesla did their earnings call like a month or so ago, they said it was coming early. So it should be here soon. And that's, I guess, people who ordered them can look forward to that. Everyone else is, you know, just living their normal lives. But yeah, it's interesting to see. This is supposed to be like a big game-changing car for the company because it's like their cheaper crossover, which is like North American's bread and butter. So we'll see what happens.
Cool. I think that's a good place to wrap up the news section. Thanks for dropping by, Aisha. All right. We're back. No more CRTC talk. It's time for me to gush about the Galaxy Z Flip.
Wow.
So a little bit of inside baseball. I got the phone on Friday.
Friday at 8 p.m.
At 8 p.m. And I had a very, very short loaner period with the device. I had to return it to Samsung by
Tuesday morning,
which I did. Super thankful to get my hands on the phone early. Very, very impressed with it. A little bit concerned that the loaner for the review was such a brief period of time. There's some chatter on the weekend amongst like US media that maybe Samsung is keeping the review periods short intentionally so that nothing goes wrong with the phones.
I think they had to play this one close to the chest just because of how disastrous the Fold was. They got to like pull out all the like PR stops where they're like, you only have a few days with the phone. And here's a bunch, like we've been to... Or actually, we haven't, but regular media has been to PR events already that have had the phone, but not getting to take them home. We have the one tonight where it's like we get to go hands-on with the phone for a few hours, but we don't get to keep it again. So it's like they're playing this one close to the chest, which is probably smart. But like for, you know, the consumers, it's like we can't really give you a super accurate
readout. I'm told I'll get one again in the future, and that the short loan period is related to like limited devices and they need to get them out to more media, which is 100% understandable. I'm not going to be doing a full review because I've only had the phone for 3 days. We don't have like any stringent rules about like how long you need to use a device before you review it at Mobile Syrup, but I felt like...
You need it for long enough to feel comfortable.
For this kind of device.
And I think, it varies on the phone. Something like Fold or the Flip or something really new and exciting and with a lot of potential to break, I think you need a good period of time. But like, you know, something like an iterative update to an iPhone or something, you could take a little less time because, you know, there's less to unpack.
Like I've done iPhone reviews after 3 days.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, there's only one new feature. There's a camera's new. You get to compare the two cameras. The battery lasts a little longer. You're like, okay, well, we've learned with the iPhone. The Flip is like, how do I even use this device? How do I incorporate this into my life?
It's so, so cool. But I'll have something on the site by, I think, Friday for when this podcast goes up. We're recording earlier in the week. And I think it's just going to be like my experience with the phone over the weekend. Like I was shocked at how solid it feels. The hinge feels great. I spent much of the weekend just opening and closing the phone repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
The screen feels vastly improved over the Fold. You went to the Fold event with me, yep. And I think you saw it when I briefly had it, a review unit before.
It was plasticky,
like
worse than old Android phones. You know, like older Android phones, the screens used to feel really plasticky. Like the Fold was worse than that.
There's almost like a blur over the screen is what bothered me about it. It was like a really crappy screen protector was on it, which sort of actually
kind of was the case. Yeah,
it was holding it together.
But you're saying the Flip feels better, and in terms of like clarity and solidness, which is maybe not the right word, but you know what I'm talking about.
I mean, the screen itself, like the vibrancy, didn't match the S10 or the Note 10, but it looked quite good. I think if you presented that phone to the average person who doesn't see a ton of smartphones, they wouldn't have anything negative to say about it. Like, it doesn't immediately look in any, I guess, noticeable way worse than displays featured in other devices.
Oh, for sure. It's super on par. Like, if people talk about the Razr being under par or over par, I guess we're using golf metaphors, the Razr being not good and not like keeping up with modern flagships, I think the Flip does keep up with the flagships easily.
I mean, the other thing is about the display, not just the quality in terms of what it looks like it felt better.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that it feels like a glass screen. It feels somewhere in between glass and plastic. There's like a little bit of flex to it if you push hard enough on the display. Samsung claims that it's glass. I know there's some controversy surrounding that. I think the general belief is that it's a mix of glass and plastic.
My favorite.
Tell
me all about it.
It's the best mix. That's my favorite drink, is a mix of glass and plastic.
Wow.
But it feels good. Like, I wasn't disappointed in the display in any way. The way the hinge works is impressive. I like that it doesn't necessarily lock, but it kind of works like a laptop hinge, and it can like stick at different angles.
How do you feel about the tallness of the display? Do you feel like it was too tall? And no, answer that question first and then I'll...
So I don't think that the aspect ratio, like, I know it's a weird aspect ratio. Mm-hmm. I don't specifically, I could look through my notes and find it, but
it's just taller than an average phone.
a tall phone.
Yeah.
I don't think the aspect ratio was the issue. For me, the main problem was the fact that it's top heavy. Mm-hmm. So you have this phone, you flip it out, you're holding it in your hand, one hand, because that's how a lot of people use their phones, or how I like
if you're trying to do the patented cool flip TM, you're doing it with one hand.
You could do that 100%. Like
wrist flick, flip up to the ear. Yes. Hello, I'm busy.
Yes. But if you're typing with one hand and you have just flipped it open, you kind of feel the phone tilting backwards a little bit because it's top heavy. Like that's where the camera module is. I almost wish like Samsung put some sort of artificial weight in the bottom to balance it out, because I was a little concerned that it could, like, I could see someone flipping it open and then the phone just entirely flipping out of their hand because it's top heavy
or just balanced. Because if it was really top heavy, it wouldn't be able to do, like, I'm not saying it's not top heavy, but if it was extremely top heavy, it wouldn't be able to do the sit on the table and fold open type of thing.
Yeah, I guess.
But I mean, if there's like battery in both the top and bottom halves, that might make the top feel heavier than a normal phone where the battery is generally more placed towards the bottom in one chunk.
Yeah, I think maybe
that's what throws it off.
I think the battery is split between both parts of
that's it. That's what I mean. So it would be average or equal-ish on both sides, as opposed to like I'm holding my Pixel and the battery is like in this bottom two thirds, as opposed to being the whole way up. And it's a taller phone.
All I know is when I was holding it with one hand, it felt top heavy.
Yeah,
with two hands, no issues. But I was a little afraid of dropping it in those situations.
How do you like holding it in landscape mode? Does it feel weird because it folds?
It does.
Did you ever watch a video with it like folded at like a few degrees?
I did that a lot.
Like you're holding a little book. Like,
so I was watching like YouTube videos in a Saturday morning when I first woke up, as you do on a Saturday morning.
Yeah. What else do you do on Saturday morning?
And I would normally like just prop my phone up on a pillow or like shuffle the blankets together so that I can like make a fake tripod.
A little nest.
A nest for my phone. Yeah. In this case, I just like propped it open, I don't know, 10 degrees and put it there and it was perfect.
That actually, and it worked. And yeah, that's because it's YouTube. You're not worried. Actually, it's kind of like impromptu curved display, immersive it's Samsung true. Experience.
Yeah, that's right exactly there. What it is.
Wild.
But I did that quite a bit. I mean, there's an instance too where I was sitting at my desk and I was watching a video on my phone. I did the same thing. I propped it open a little bit and consumed content.
I'm excited to spend more time with it tonight. I'm excited to just like, I want to be a like angsty teen in the corner where people are like, why is that kid always on his phone? And it's like, and I'm just like, because it flips. Well, why would I interact with anything outside of this?
So I was frustrating my partner with it all weekend because we went grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm. And whole weekend.
I phrased that incorrectly.
No, I know.
We went grocery shopping at one point during the weekend, and I repeatedly kept pulling the phone out of my pocket and just flipping it like over and over again because it's so. And I wasn't doing it because I wanted people to be like, oh, look how baller this guy is with this foldable phone. It's just like so addictive to flip it and actually have it feel solid. Whereas with the Fold, Samsung's previous foldable, I didn't get that same feeling.
And there was like always these negative reports floating around about the Fold. Like it was kind of like scary to hold because you were like, is it going to break on me? Is this a ticking time bomb? Like what's the deal here? But the flip is seeming more positive for sure.
I think one of the things that I won't be able to determine because I don't have the device anymore is over an extended period of time, like how durable the display actually is. I'm concerned what happens when you get a piece of dust that is hard between the two screens and you snap it shut and then you throw it in your pocket and that dust is like grinding between the displays. Will that result in significant scratches? I saw some media that have the device in the US because it launched, I believe, Friday in the States, getting scratches on their devices already.
Do we know when it launches here?
This Friday.
Oh, perfect.
When this podcast is live, the phone will be available.
Who do you think is buying this? Who do you think is like lining up on Friday and being like, I got a flip?
So Samsung is positioning it as being like for influencers.
Mm-hmm. But is that a big market, or is it just because like everybody wants to be an influencer now? Aimed at the teens? Because the teens watch influencers more than the adults, right?
I think they're going to do like an influencer marketing campaign mm-hmm. because this is like prime for that kind of thing. Like you pay an influencer a few thousand
Samsung
dollars.
DM.
Yeah. So, I think it's for whatever Samsung positions it as, I think it's for phone enthusiasts. Like the average person, actually, I don't know, because like it's a unique form factor, right?
I think it's going to be a hard sell to the average consumer because of the price.
It's true. It's let me double check the price. It's in my headline. I can never remember numbers. $1,819 Canadian dollars, which is far cheaper than the Galaxy Fold by approximately $600, $650, something like that.
But about $800 more expensive than the S20.
Yes.
Which is a lot of money.
So I don't know. I don't think it's going to sell incredibly well. I honestly don't think that Samsung wants it to sell super well. They're still figuring out this foldable thing.
They are getting better, though. I mean, I didn't think they would come out this strongly in round two. You know, knocked out in round one, or knocked down, I guess. But they're back strong.
And there's already rumors about the Fold 2 having like an under-display camera. There's like a weird notch thing that leaked yesterday. I think Dean wrote three different stories about Fold 2 leaks. So like Samsung's already... Like the machine's still spinning. There's going to be another foldable device, some would soon, from them, at least before the end of the year.
What color did you have?
I had the black one.
Oh, interesting. Not the purple, eh?
Which was insanely difficult to take pictures of.
Yeah.
Because it's like a black mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Pun intended.
Whoa.
Ooh.
What else do I got in here? Oh, can you explain the little tiny screen on the outside a little more? What's going on there? Like, it's showing the time, it's showing notifications. How?
So I wish that screen was bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way that Motorola handled it with the Razr makes more sense. It's like a more sizable display,
mm-hmm.
significantly more usable. When the phone's sitting idly, it shows the time. You can change settings in it, very basic settings like Bluetooth. Stuff like that.
That's actually pretty handy.
Quick access. It also shows notifications, which is kind of cool. But if you hold the phone up to your face, facing towards, I'm trying to think of how to explain this. You can use it as a viewfinder if you're taking a selfie. You double click the fingerprint sensor, the on button,
mm-hmm.
and it then shows you on the camera, which like it works, but it's such a tiny display. You can barely, like, I have a picture of it that's going to be in the story.
Yeah.
You can barely see yourself in it. You don't even know if there's like enough headroom in the photo.
Who needs to take a selfie that fast that they can't like flip that bad boy open? And
influencers, man. You got to be on the run with your influence.
You need to just pop your phone out of your pocket, take a selfie and keep going because influencers never stop.
They have to influence the world.
Okay. And is that it, do you think? What else?
That was like the only thing right now. I'm sure Samsung probably has a line where they're like, we have more purposes coming in the future. Who knows if that'll ever come to fruition. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was cool as like a notification thing. I wish it was bigger. I didn't find the whole, like, I don't take a lot of selfies. I'm not Dean. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it was that useful for that particular purpose. Like, the one thing that I thought was cool for people that are super into using front-facing cameras is the ability to put the phone's display at 90 degrees.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's a mode where you can wave in front of the camera and it'll snap a photo.
I did that at the Samsung Experience store. Like,
that was cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Like, yeah, it is really cool. I'm excited to go hands-on with it again. But
yeah, you're checking it out soon, right?
Tonight. Ooh. Yeah, we'll see. I got a few hours. So here's like a little hypothetical question. Dream foldable device. So I would say you need to pick a manufacturer and you need to like pick the features that you need in the device. And then like any add-ons, you know, like the extra little outside screen, the colors, the features, the flipping, the stylus, blah, blah, blah. What's, you know, the form factor.
So I would pick Samsung.
Samsung is your dream foldable company.
Because I think, I mean, Apple has a history of like doing things better than other companies much later.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that side of the argument too. But I think
maybe you could even throw in Microsoft as this like underdog, you know?
But Microsoft doesn't want to do foldable displays.
Not yet. But if Samsung perfects it and starts selling those displays to other companies, I think people are jumping on board.
I'm going to stick with Samsung just because I think that they have the most experience. They've released two consumer devices. So they've kind of had the.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
These borderline test products out in the public people have used, and they've gotten feedback and they've changed stuff and they seem to be prepared to rapidly iterate. Because from the Fold to the Z Flip, like that's a pretty significant leap. Surprisingly, I didn't expect that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say Samsung. What were the other things?
You know, like just your dreams, you know, front facing speakers, metal build, glass screen, outside screen that's big. Giant speakers.
So I charging, like, I don't know. I guess you would call the Z Flip like a vertical flip, right? Or like the clamshell design. Sure.
Let's go with clamshell.
I like that. I prefer that over the folding out, like the Galaxy Fold. I appreciate the size that you get with the Fold, but like I really don't want to walk around with a tablet in my pocket. So clamshell flip. I don't like the mirror finish on the Z Flip.
Mm-hmm.
I would like it to be matte. Probably something similar to what the iPhone 11 Pro has, where it's not going to show grease and fingerprints. It's not going to be a dust magnet.
Yeah.
Color-wise, I don't really, like, I'm not big on black phones. I would want some kind of color to it. I like the purple that Samsung's doing with the Z Flip.
I think it would have been really nice to see this in the blue color that the S20 comes in.
Yeah, I think that would look really good. I think all of the S20 colors, but matte, would be cool.
I kind of
except for
like,
the black one.
I kind of like the gloss.
I don't like the gloss.
I don't like it from the fingerprint standpoint, but like when the S20 looks clean with that blue gloss, it looks
that
like
one time,
really nice.
Like at
right after you,
two
clean
seconds
it.
After you clean it, where it looks nice,
fresh out of the box. Yeah, that's fair.
So I think that is generally my ideal concept of a foldable phone. I mean, the weighting, if you remove that from the Z Flip. That would be great. That was probably my main issue beyond price.
Do you want it to be a little thinner, or do you think the thickness helps it feel sturdy?
I didn't find it that thick.
Okay.
I mean, it would be nice if it was thinner, but I think it's something that's just going to be an issue with foldable phones, right? Like, it's two screens sandwiched on top of each other. Like, they're going to be thicker than your average, like, slab of metal phone because the simple fact that there's two displays.
That's fair. I don't know. I'm just like, I guess I'm thinking like, I like how like phones look on tables, you know, if that makes any sense. Like I'm looking at my phone, it's like sitting down. It's like, oh, that looks nice. Like it just like, it's very thin. It's very like
you know, minimal. I think they're
going to get thinner, but I didn't find it that big of an issue. Like, I think in a way it helped the phone feel more solid.
Yeah.
It also didn't feel particularly thick in my pocket at all either. So, I mean, they're going to get thinner, like I said, but I don't see it as that big of an issue.
Do you think, like, the cool kids in high school have these phones or will be? You know, you think, like, you go to school and you're like, oh, my God, look who's coming down the hall towards us. This guy is so cool. And
there's always,
he has a Zed Flip.
There's always, like, that guy that has the latest thing, right?
Mm-hmm. But do you think it's, like, the cool kid or it's, like, the nerd who's into phones? You know, is it us or is it?
I think it's the cool kid, the cool kid. Well,
is it us or the quarterback, like?
Quarterback's not buying this phone. The quarterback still has a broken iPhone 6S with the screen all smashed.
Because of sports.
Yeah, because he's playing sports, right? He doesn't care about his phone. No, I think that there's going to be a lot of people into this phone. I don't know how many people actually purchase it. I don't know how many are even going to be available, right? Like, I think that...
Oh, can't you only buy... Can you only buy the Samsung stores or are the carriers selling it?
Trying to figure that out still.
We don't know.
We know that it will be available at Samsung stores. Telus has confirmed that it will carry it. Like, it's on its website, but who knows when it's launching. Mm. That's actually something that hopefully, like, this podcast goes up Friday. We're recording on Wednesday. I'm working on figuring out what carriers are going to be carrying it. We just don't know yet.
All right. I don't know if I have any more questions. Is there, like, one overarching favorite thing that you were, like, if you needed to, like, climb on top of a mountain and scream it to the people about the Flip, what, you know, what do you want to tell them?
The hinge feels good, and the screen feels good. Like, there's obviously room for improvement. It didn't feel exactly the same as a glass display, but whether or not Samsung is being entirely honest about the ultra-thin glass, I'm doing, like, quotes around that,
yep.
It still feels good. So, I mean... I thought that the display was very impressive.
Would you feel comfortable buying one? Do you think people could go out, buy this phone and be comfortable? I know. I mean, that's hard to tell. I know you've only had it for a few days, but, like, initial impressions, you know, not telling people to go crazy and buy them, but, like, if someone asks you and they're like, I really want the Flip, do you think it will last me?
I think I'd want to spend more time with it and read mm-hmm. more about durability tests and whatnot. Like, I know there's been some scratch tests, things like that. But my initial impressions was, like, if someone asked me, hey, Patrick, do you work at Mobile Syrup? Should I buy this wacky Samsung flippy phone thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, I think so. Like,
all right.
I think there's going to be devices that will fail. People will scratch them. The screens will break.
Do you get one free screen replacement? Am I making that up? Was that a fold
thing? I believe so. That was a fold thing. There's something along the lines of that, I think. Let me see the direct quote. It was a little strange. So Samsung says that the Galaxy Z Flip comes with a Galaxy Concierge service that gives customers access to specially trained experts available 24/7 and in-person onboarding support. In addition, oh no, that's me saying the in addition part. So if you purchase a Z Flip on or before August 31st, you may obtain an eligible screen repair within 1 year of the date of purchase.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's like early adopters feel safe.
But then it says, and pay a price of Canadian $159 plus tax. So
for the screen repair.
Yeah, so it seems like...
That's cheaper.
You get a cheap screen repair, but it's not...
Cheaper or not cheap. $150 bucks is still not what you want to be spending on a broken screen.
Yeah. So it's a little unclear if it's free. I don't think it is. I think you get this one-time $159 repair, and you only get that once.
Ooh. All right. I mean, the options are there. Samsung's doing its best, I guess.
I think it would be a difficult thing for me to fully recommend it to someone. Like, I think if you're really into foldable phones, go for it.
Yeah.
You're going to be happy with this thing. Just be careful with it. I would need to spend more time with it before I could be like, this is the foldable phone to buy. I think as with all technology, like, the more versions that Samsung releases, the better it's going to get. This is only version 2. Mm-hmm. Version 3, version 4, that's when it's really going to hit its stride. But at this point, it's not just an experiment for Samsung anymore. It's a viable device. And I think that's my key takeaway so far. And that's like what the overarching theme of the story that's going to come out Friday is like, the Fold was an experiment. Sure, the Z Flip is an experiment, but it's an experiment worth buying.
The future. It's now.
Ooh, I think that's my headline, an experiment worth buying.
What about something related to origami?
Oh, God.
You know? I've been thinking about some way to wrap in being like, would you recommend this phone to people that love origami? But, like, I just couldn't think of a way to do it. So
Dean was mad about the name yesterday because he says it doesn't make a Z.
No, I also agree because in the marketing, it takes two.
Man, who cares?
Well, what does the Z stand for?
What does the 10S stand for in an iPhone name?
Nothing. Well, it stands for 10 speed.
Or is it 10S or is it XS?
It's 10. They use an X, but it's Roman numerals. It's 10. Yeah. And I think the S is speed. I think the S...
Or the 10R. What's the R stand for?
Rickety old wagon.
You see what I mean? I don't know. They just throw out letters that sound cool. So like I'm used to that at this point.
Yeah, that's true. I guess so. We're kind of nitpicking here, but it's sometimes you gotta. Fair. Yeah.
So I think also it's worth mentioning that the S20 is just around the corner. Mm-hmm. We should be getting our review device or devices later this week. I went hands-on with them. You also went hands-on with them.
Yeah, our initial impressions were super positive. The S20 is hardware-wise is a phone I just want to keep holding.
Yeah, Samsung makes great hardware every year, I think probably for me at least since the S7. That's like when the tide kind of turned and they started doing their own thing and it wasn't just copying everything Apple's doing. Mm-hmm. The phone, regardless of what S20 device you're looking at, like, they're all solid phones. I think the... Mm-hmm.
The 5G thing is pretty exciting, too.
If
you live in Toronto and you're, like, needing a new phone, this might be the one to buy because, A, it's a good phone, and, B, you can have it for 3 years and you'll still get access to 5G.
Yeah,
because sure. You can say in three years,
there's going to be nothing about 5G in terms of regular consumers being able to use it. And even, like, tests that... were able mm-hmm. to partake in working for Mobile Syrup in 2020. Like, I just don't see that happening. It won't be until 2021.
Yeah, but I think if you have a decent phone, you don't want to drop it for this. But if you have like a 3 or 4 year old phone and you're like, oh, I think it's time for me to upgrade. Like, should I get the S20? It's like, yeah, you probably should, because if you're going to have that one for 3 or 4 years, you want to be ready. You got to have that fifth G, the secret G.
The best G. I think the thing that's interesting is like all three phones are more expensive now at this point.
Yeah, that actually scares me. Do you think 5G phones in general across the board will be more expensive?
I think it's going to be used as a justification to charge more for them.
It's something I worry about a lot, like in electric cars. You know, electric cars just are generally more expensive right now. Will they ever reach parity, or will manufacturers continue to be like, it's electric now, the cost is just, you know, a couple of grand more than the base cost of a car used to be? And I think, is 5G going to do the same thing to phones? Or folding?
Yeah, I think it's two reasons to charge more, right?
Guess that's just one more reason we need the CRTC to lower our phone plans.
The just to put it in perspective, like the regular S20 is $1,319,
which is nuts.
The S20 Plus is $1,579, and the S20. Okay, I'm just trying to find it in my story. The S20 Ultra starts at $1,849.
Yeah, don't buy the Ultra. Like, if you're spending the Ultra, get the Flip, I think, right?
Yeah, that's what I think I would be more inclined to do. I mean, Samsung's made some strides in camera stuff this year. We haven't really spent enough time with it to know for sure.
It's actually super interesting. It's like both of them are being marketed to influencers in different ways. One's like, this phone is going to make you look cool as hell. And the other one's like, this phone actually is like useful to the work you do as a videographer. And so it's weird being like tool and... pleasure. I don't know.
There's like the 8K shooting.
Yeah, like if you're an influencer, like that's super handy.
I just have that in your pocket. I just question like how good that 8K footage actually is going to be. There's limitations with it too. Like you can't have super steady mode on, so you're going to have a lot of camera shake.
But even that super steady at 4K or 1080 is super handy. Like, yeah, no, the super steady looks really cool.
It's great at those resolutions. I just mean shooting it like. It feels like adding 8K to the phone is more Samsung just checking a box.
For sure.
I don't know how useful 8K footage is to anybody right now.
But I think all the other tools in the camera, like the zoom and all of the lenses and the sensor,
yeah.
Like the depth sensor, and the fact that it can shoot like super stable video at a reasonably high quality and slow-mo and all these things is like, you know, if you're someone who needs to like take videos and pictures for your like lifestyle, that's... a pretty good sell, although $1,800 is not a good sell, but you know, those tools are there to make that happen.
I think the space zoom is a bit of a gimmick as well
for the full length. Yeah, but I mean, those like first 5 and 10 make a big difference outdoors, and they retain quality.
Is that that's something enough. That I need to play around with. Like, I know there's going to be a sweet spot in there where quality and zoom, like it kind of balances out. But during that like half hour that we played around with the phones, I just couldn't really find it in that brief period of time. I think it's cool that a phone's capable of 100x zoom, but like when they showed it to us and we're like, "What do you guys think of this?" Like, I wanted to be like, "That looks like absolute trash."
I think it's like a good way where you can see Samsung being over the top in a way that like Apple or like Google aren't, you know? Like Samsung's like pushing these limits all the time for no reason other than to be the first person to push these limits. It's the reason they're making the foldable phones is because they push the limits. It's like, we have 8K, we have super stable, we have 100x zoom. And it's like, yeah, but you know, no one really needs those things. And like companies like Google, Apple, OnePlus know that. And so they keep you locked at like 2x zoom and ultra wide, but still super stable because they are realizing those are things people need. And as long as Samsung does those things that are like on par with other consumer phones, well, this gimmick is just a gimmick, but it's still a good phone underneath all that, I think. It's kind of what I'm getting at.
That's what I find so interesting about Samsung is that
they're like a little bombastic.
They push the envelope. They do stuff that I wouldn't say crazy, but like things that are out there with their devices that you wouldn't expect from Apple, who never takes like any chances on anything really anymore.
Well, they got rid of the headphone jack 5 years ago, and that was like...
That was another thing that I thought was
none of these new phones hilarious. Have headphone jacks.
Yeah, and that was like a huge point for Samsung during its keynotes. I still want someone to make a supercut of all the times they poked fun at Apple.
You know what I want? I want a headphone jack on the flip. I want to carry it around like a little square MP3 player with like wired headphones just to be like, just to flex.
That would be cool. So I think... That's probably enough about the S20. We'll all have a story about it. Eventually, early March, I think, is when the phone is available, March 6th. So I'll likely have the story on the site for around then or possibly earlier. It all depends on like whatever embargo Samsung gives us.
Who would have thought the Flip would have came out before the S20 series?
That's what blows my mind.
We didn't anticipate that at all.
I didn't think it was coming to Canada, first of all.
I thought we were getting it in like 3 months.
Yes. I thought maybe in the summertime they'd be like, the Z Flip is coming to Canada by the end of the summer.
Yeah, like to bridge the gap between the 20 or the S series and the Note series. But no, here we are. Samsung's going crazy. Maybe they'll release the Fold 2 alongside the Note and they'll be like, we'll just get these huge double whammies, 1-2 punches for the next couple of years.
That's true. I think that's the running rumor too, is that the Fold 2 will be revealed at the same time as the Note in the summertime.
I wonder how much those phones will cost. Do you think easily $2,000 each? Like starting base $2,000 going
the
up
Note,
to like
the
three.
Note Plus in Canada will be more expensive, I think, than the Ultra.
Yeah.
So we're talking, I think it'll be like 2,000, slightly over 2,000.
Isn't the Ultra bigger than the current Note 10? Is that
correct? Yeah, I 6.9 inches for the Ultra. The Note 10 Plus, I'm going to look up the size.
I want to say like 6.4 or 5.
I think, so I was, when I was writing my hands on, I looked it all up just to see. So this, it's 6.8 inches.
Okay, so it's only a little bit bigger.
So it's slightly
bigger. But it's
bigger.
Like essentially a tablet. Like they used to sell 7-inch tablets.
Well, it's crazy when you think about it. Like the Note used to be Samsung's big phone.
Yeah.
It's not anymore. It's Samsung's
it's
phone.
Just, it's their other phone.
It's their other phone with a stylus that nobody uses.
Business phone.
Business phone. So I think the last thing that I wanted to bring up about the S20 series, like there's three phones. The S10e, which I really liked, and John... one of Mobile Serp's staff writers was a huge fan of, is a thing of the past. I know you liked it as well.
Yeah, it was a really good phone, and I think it was important to have a phone in that like size range.
What phone of this S20 series would you want?
From like Brad as a consumer level, because there's like two levels to this because of the job we take. I'm using that cop out, but Brad as a consumer level, the S20, I think like. Maybe the S20 Plus, how much more is it? Is it only $100 more? Maybe I could justify that. But
so the, keep talking, I'll find the prices.
But the S20, when I held it, felt really nice in my hand. Like I don't have giant hands and it's already a big enough phone, like 6.2 inches or something, 6.3. So it's already huge and it has basically everything that the Plus has. So maybe that's the one I go for. But then again, the Plus is like a little bit bigger, which sometimes I do like. I don't think I'm going for the Ultra, though. I don't think I'm justifying the $1,800 price tag for
what we essentially said were camera gimmicks. Because the
we think, like, I really need to sit down and use the phone. There's a lot of other questions about, like Samsung does so much processing to their mm-hmm. images. I'm hoping they've revamped that. Like, I truly haven't used it enough to say for sure.
That camera rebuild happened in the S20s as well. So, like, you know.
That's true, yeah.
You're expecting good pictures across the board, but you're just not getting 8K and 100 times zoom. You're getting 30 times zoom and 4K, and, like, that's fine for me.
So the prices are $1,319 or $1,579, and that's like the starting.
I think I'm
prices.
Sticking with the S20. I think that's big enough. I think that's about the same size as the phones that I'm using now currently. So I think I'm sticking with the S20 because you get in Cloud Blue or whatever. I'm all in.
I would go with the Plus just because I like larger phones.
But is it even that much larger? Like, you use a 10S Max. How big is the screen size on the 10S Max?
So the S20 Plus is 6.7 inches. I believe the 10X Max is 6.5. So it's only like 0.2 bigger.
The 6.5. So like, that's not a lot of difference.
No, know? It's not. But I think, yeah, that's true. That's fair.
That's what I mean. I mean, just for like the $200 yeah. for that get, much more screen real estate, it just seems like, I don't know if I can justify that.
But what about that time of flight sensor that we don't know what it does?
I mean, if it really makes, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm joking. Like, I wouldn't pay more for the time of flight sensor. Yeah. It probably has something to do with like Samsung's Animoji knockoff thing. Oh. That's horrible.
Yeah. I think the S20 is the phone to buy out of this series, but I think, I don't know. It's just so expensive. It's going to be interesting to see if this works out for Samsung.
I'm excited to see, well, not excited. I'm interested to see what, the plan offerings look like as we get closer to the phone's launch.
Yeah, that's true too.
So I think that's a good place to wrap up everything. Let's hit the last segment. So this is the part of the podcast where we talk about what video games we've been playing. For once, I'm not playing Stardew Valley this week. I think I've had my fill of that game.
You know who just started playing?
Who?
John.
He started playing Stardew Valley?
Yeah, he told me this morning. Him and Jade started a farm on his computer.
Oh, no. I might have to get back into it.
You can never get out.
It's like a cult. So I've been playing a game called Wargroove. It's sort of the spiritual successor to a game called Advance Wars. It was available for the Game Boy Advance, this long-running Japanese series where there's been tons and tons of entries in them, but only three of them came to North America in the mid-2000s for the Game Boy Advance. The game plays nearly identical to that series, which hasn't had a new entry in years and years. It came out last year. I really, really liked it, but got stuck on a level, just stopped playing it. Recently found a way to get past that stage, and now I'm deep into it. Play it to and from work every day on the Nintendo Switch Lite.
The Nintendo Switch Lite?
If only this was like a real ad placement.
Yeah.
So what have you been playing?
Wait, how much is Wargroove? Is it a full price game? It looks interesting. I like
it is not a full price game.
Tactics based games like Fire Emblem and like the Banner Saga. Is it kind of falling in between those?
It's that kind of idea. It's $39 for the physical copy.
I don't want that. Is it cheaper to buy digital? Probably not.
Let me see. Let's what the say digital it's 40 is. Bucks. I imagine it's probably $40. It's not a full price game.
I ever played the third Banner Saga game. Maybe I should just go back and play that. That game was really fun. It had the best art style.
Oh, I just clicked buy digital and it wants me to log into my Nintendo Switch account.
Buy it, Pat.
So
gift it to me.
I'm not going to be able to tell you how much it costs, but I think here we go. It's only $24.
Oh, that's actually really appealing.
That's well worth it for that game.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great game. Mm-hmm. No issues with it. They're releasing... It's either coming out this month or it's already released. I'm not certain. A free expansion pack as well.
Cool. All right. Yeah, that would be a game I think I would like.
So you're still playing Stardew Valley?
I am still playing Stardew Valley, but I have been, like, this weekend I played, like, I don't know, maybe 10 hours of Red Dead Redemption Online, which is, like, what I was going to talk about just to switch things up, although I have made over a million in Stardew Valley now. The money is
You showed it to in. Me. You're just like a rapper.
1.3 million and, like, 300 star fruits in a chest being ready to be turned into wine. But no, Red Dead Online, they had, like, this new Moonshiner update that came out, I don't know, a month ago, maybe? A month and a half ago? Where essentially you can start like a moonshine business. And I was like, that sounds fun. So I've been just playing that again and doing like the online story mode and some of those missions. And it's been enjoyable. I'm glad that I'm spending more time with that game because I didn't. Like I said, I bought it full price. It was expensive.
So did I.
Only really paid the story, which I like
put my You finished head, it, didn't you?
But I put my head down and didn't do any of the side missions. I was like, okay, I'm going to go with like the mindset of knowing that I don't play video games as much at that time, I wasn't playing a super lot. I've been playing a lot lately, but I wasn't playing video games a lot. And so big, long story games like that are hard to get through. So I was like, I'm going to focus completely on the story, get through it, because like that's, you know, or I think the meat is in this game is just like getting the really awesome narrative. So I just like didn't really do many of the side missions and barreled through it and enjoyed it. And then I never really played it again. And here we are. I'm just trying to get into online.
That's a game I've wanted to get back into for some time. I don't know if I ever will because it's so...
The online has its own like story mode.
Oh. Okay.
And it is... And like there is something super fun like when you're just like, oh, I got this wagon of supplies. I got to bring it back to the thing for the mission. And then like, I would like a that real kind of person shows up and it's like, cool. No, you're not bringing that back. I'm bringing it back. And then you get it and like you respawn nearby. So you're like fighting over this wagon with someone in real life. And it just like happens out of nowhere. And those experiences are like really, really fun. Like I was playing the other night and it was just like this dude came up and was just like kept killing me, trying to steal my wagon. And we had like this huge fight and I was taking the wagon through the woods, like trying to escape. Like,
sounds awesome.
It was foggy. It was at night. It was like, I was like, I gotta hide. It was really fun. And you're like trying to think. And it's more fun to have those fights against real people than computers.
Maybe I'll have to get back into it at some point. I also want to start playing. I bought the Apex Seasons Pass.
Oh, yeah.
But I just haven't. Like, for whatever reason, I just haven't played it.
Yeah. Yeah. That game, I'm so glad that it's free because it's always there.
It's yeah, so nice. It is there. It's like this friend you can just come back to when you have nothing else to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That game is a beautiful value.
And the Wargroove expansion is out already, I believe.
Okay.
And it's called Double Trouble. So there's some accurate information for podcast listeners, not just me guessing whether or not it's out. Nice. So I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. Be sure to drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. You'll also notice, once again, that we've changed up the format of the podcast. We've changed things a little more this week as well.
I think we're ironing. We're starting to get most of the wrinkles out, I hope.
I think we've pretty much set on a format for how things are going to flow. If listeners have suggestions or ideas,
even
for segments,
content suggestions, like we want to know like what kind of stuff you guys want to listen to, you know, like send us, tweet us or send us emails and just be like, you know, like, I like it when you talk about this and you know, can you get someone on to learn about that? And we can try and get guests and we can, you know, work with you guys to build the podcasting experience that everyone needs.
Yeah, we have big plans for 2020 with the Syrupcast. I think you're going to hear a lot of guests,
hopefully
in the coming weeks. Yeah. So let us know. I think Twitter is the easiest way to reach out to us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You can find me on Twitter at @Patrick_O'Rourke. And of course, on mobilesyrup.com. Brad, where can people find you?
You can find me just about everywhere at TheBradFad. And yeah, mobilesyrup.com. And like I said, you can reach out. We have like a contact us page there. I think it's easy if you look at it on desktop to find that along the top. And all our emails are there, you know. We're not hiding. We're out there. You can talk to us.
We're very, very available. And I think, so by the time this podcast comes up, all of Aisha's CRTC hearing related content will be up on the site. I think the hearing goes into next week as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she's tweeting about the hearing. She's writing content. All of the stories are up on mobilesyrup.com. But if you want to follow her on Twitter, you can also follow her at @AishaMalik1. And there are two I's in Aisha in her Twitter name.
Fair enough.
Is worth pointing out just because that's not how her name is actually spelled.
I think those are worth following. This is probably about the juiciest drama that the CRTC is going to have in quite some time. So like if you're interested in sort of like how cell phone plans get mandated and what the CRTC does, this is something worth following along with.
Definitely. She's been doing some great reporting on it.
Definitely.
So that's a good place to wrap it up. You can find all of our content at mobilesyrup.com. And also follow Mobile Syrup on Instagram and Twitter at Mobile Syrup.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.